of you have a very special friend? Someone that you know that you can count on no matter what. Someone that you can call at 2 in the morning and will be there for you. Someone that no matter what your need or what your state of the heart, you can count on them. Those kinds of friends are very special. In fact, I think it may possibly be that kind of friend that Jesus had in mind when he begins his parable today. There was a man who has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight with a very interesting request. Do you have 3 loaves of bread you could lend me? You see, I'm in a great state of despair. So a friend of mine has just shown up at my house, and I have nothing to set before him. In Jesus' day, hospitality, welcoming friend and stranger that were travelers into your home, was a sacred responsibility. It was one of the most highly held ideals of the Jewish community. With no inns much to speak of, and traveling distances, you know, being a very difficult thing, what you counted on for your survival as you went from place to place was that when you got to a town or a village, your friends, your fellow Jews, would take you in. They would give you shelter, and they would give you food. Because of the climate, you can imagine that traveling in the late evening would have been much more desirable, when the sun was not quite so hot or began to go down, and the coolness was there to make travel much more possible. It would not have been completely unusual for a friend to arrive late in the evening. And as the host, it was your sacred duty to not just make do. Okay, fine, you know, just come in, lay down, I'll take care of you in the morning. But to welcome them and to lay before them not just enough, but plenty. Can you imagine? Having no warning that friends were coming? You baked the bread that morning for the day, but it was all used up. And here they are at your house, hungry and tired and weary. And you can't fulfill your sacred responsibility. You have a great need. And so you go to your friend. And although the door is shut, you shamelessly knock. Now, houses were very, very small in Israel at that time. They were basically one room with a door and a window. And you pretty much cooked and slept and did everything in the same room. During the day, the door was open. People came and went. Privacy was not a big issue. Animals even came and went out of the house in some homes. But at night, when everyone settled down around the fire, and you brought the animals into the doorway and they settled down for the night, you shut the door. It was a sign to everyone, this house has gone to bed. It was as though you hang a big do not disturb sign on your house. And yet the neighbor comes and the neighbor dares to knock on the door and say, I have a great need and I need your help. Oh, you can imagine. With that kind of setup, for the friend to get up would be to disturb the entire household. He can't just tiptoe out of his bedroom into the kitchen, grab the things, pass them out the window. No, for him to get up is to trip over all of the kids, step on the cat and the rooster, you know, find the things in the kitchen, you know, in the space. There's no way to do this without disturbing the entire household. It is a great request. And yet, the scriptures say, Jesus says in his parable, even if friendship is not enough to motivate this man, the fact that basically you've already disturbed the entire household, and there's no point in resisting now, because of your persistence, the friend will do what you need. how much more then? How much more the God who desires to give us what we need will be there? So Jesus says, if you have a request, ask. If there's a need in your life, ask. This is told in the context of the disciples asking, how do we pray? Jesus says, ask, and you'll get your answer. If the door seems like it's closed, knock anyway. God wants to be disturbed. If it seems like there's barriers between you and God, that God seems far away and hard to find, seek. God wants to be found. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that the God of the universe, the one who sits enthroned above all creation, the one who created us, the one who could have so easily just walked away at our sinfulness, says, no, I want to be bothered. I want you to come and knock on my door, even if it seems to you like it's closed. Even if it seems like to you like this is an inappropriate time to talk to me. I want to hear from you. Knock on the door. Bother me. Bring me your requests. Bring me your needs. I want to be in relationship with you. Seems almost too good to be true. But then again, Jesus says, think about your own children. How many of you, if your children asked for a fish, would give them a snake? I mean, they both have scales or scaly-like skin. What's the difference? Wouldn't it be a funny joke? Perhaps that's the way we feel a little bit about God. Yeah, we'll ask for something good, but who knows what we'll get. Have you ever heard people say, don't pray for patience? Have you ever heard that? Is there a sense where we almost don't trust God? That we almost think, my gosh, it's like all those wonderful stories, fairy tales and fantasy stories about the genies or the three wishes. And you know, you have to phrase it just right. And it still goes wrong anyway. And by the time you get to the third wish, they always wish for everything to go back the way it was because now it's too big of a disaster. Have you ever thought that God might be just a little bit like that? That you kind of have to be really careful how you phrase things? That God is not quite trustworthy to know who we really are and what we really need. And when we ask for a fish, he'll give us a snake. It wouldn't have been out of the question for many people to think of God in those terms. After all, the Canaanite gods, who the Israelites had been in contact with forever, were those kinds of gods. And if you've done much study of your Greek or Roman mythology, those gods are pretty good pranksters too. They can't quite be trusted. You've got to be real careful about entering into any kind of relationship with them. But not so with the God we serve. The God we serve desires to give us good things. It's not that this parable is saying be persistent and nag God to death because that's the only way you're going to get anything out of him. But that if we who have our limits as people can be the kinds of friends that do what other people need, then how much more is God, who is our heavenly friend, going to do that? Give us what we need. Be open to being disturbed. I asked you to think about that very special friend at the beginning. I'm sure many of you have a friend that you have counted on through thick and thin, who has been there for you in some unbelievable times. Imagine God being even more of a friend than that. Even more willing to be there for you. Even more able to care. Even more present. It blows me away. It's a wonderful thing. It's exciting. To think that God wants to give us not just good things, but the best. And Scripture here tells us, if you read this in Matthew, the Scripture ends with, If you then, who are evil, you know, if we who, you know, really don't have it together, know how to give our kids good things, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good things? But in Luke, he ends it just slightly different. How much more then will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now talk about asking for a fish and maybe getting a snake. Anybody here think that the Holy Spirit may not be the gift that they want to ask for? Anybody here have some really bad experience with, you know, Holy Spirit-filled ideas? Anybody here think that, you know, there's lots of things I want from you, God, but could you keep the Holy Spirit at just a little bit of a distance? You know, the Holy Spirit's just a touch scary, and people who get into this Holy Spirit stuff are just a touch touched. Oh, it's a shame that we are afraid of the very thing that God is desiring to give us most, the very presence and power of God in our life. That's what the Holy Spirit is. God in our life. God working and moving through us, teaching us, guiding us, loving us. What greater gift could God give? Have you ever felt like the song we sang? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While in others thou art calling, please, please don't pass me by. As the disciples come and ask Jesus, how do we pray? Not only does he give them the Lord's Prayer, but he gives them these parables and these analogies to say, when you're truly seeking God, God's not going to pass you by. He's there. God wants to hear what's on your heart. So ask. So tell him. God wants to be in relationship with you. God's seeking you. Just seek him back. And no matter how inappropriate the timing seems to be to you, knock on that door. God wants us to bother him. God's greatest desire is that we would disturb him and allow God to give us the great gifts. Not just the good stuff, but the great stuff. His love, his forgiveness, and his presence in our life through the Holy Spirit.